Hello, this is my Easter week diary for April the 7th, 2018. Today is Saturday in Easter week. On Wednesday of this week, we read one of my favorite stories from the book of Acts, the story of the man who was paralyzed at the gate called Beautiful, who encounters Peter and John, and Peter and John heal him in the name of Jesus. Now, we've moved on in these diaries looking at different parts of Scripture that have been shared this week. But if we had followed that story, we would have known that the end of the passage on Wednesday where the man walks and leaps and praises God into the temple is not the end of the story. And in today's reading from the book of Acts, we have the opportunity to read a bit more and the sort of final passage relative to the man who was paralyzed. This is from the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Now when the rulers and elders and scribes saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What shall we do to them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them praised God for what had happened. Here ends the reading. So between the time that the man is healed and the time we pick up the story today, the walking and leaping and praising God and the hubbubs amongst the people has caused such excitement until the religious leadership has detained Peter and John. And it is in response to Peter's sermon to them, the religious leaders, Peter's sermon about the life, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus. It's that sermon that causes the religious leadership to think to themselves and to say to one another, "Who are these people? They are uneducated. They don't have a seminary degree. They aren't people of culture. They're just some fisher folk from up by the Sea of Galilee." But what amazed them were two things. It was the words that Peter and John were proclaiming, the boldness of the words, the passion of the words. So the words were one thing. Wow, it's amazing what these common folk are saying. But the other thing they could not deny was standing right beside them was the embodiment of the resurrected life, of new life in the form of this man who had been healed. What to do with this bold message? What to do with this evidence of the resurrection power of God? What to do? Well, the religious leadership can't punish them because the whole town, according to Luke, at least the whole temple, plenty of people were abuzz with what was right before them. And so, they attempt to impose a gag order on Peter and John. Just don't do any more. No more of this Jesus talk. And Peter and John, probably full of boldness, say, "Well, you'll have to judge about whether it's right that we... whether you'll have to judge who we need to listen to. But We can't keep from speaking about what we've seen and heard. We've got to tell. We have a message to proclaim, and we are going to proclaim it. And the name that we're going to proclaim is Jesus. Every time I read that story, I think about a couple of things. I think about how we, as the church, may have lost some of our boldness. We've become a bit timid. Maybe we're not as bold in proclaiming the name of Jesus because we as mainline Christians don't want to be identified with other sorts of Christians who are bold but don't necessarily share our vision of the gospel. Maybe we're afraid to boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel because we don't want to be identified as pushy or overbearing or non-inclusive or judgmental or any other adjective that, if we're honest, we're often applying to sisters and brothers who are in a different Christian theological space than we are. So we've become a bit timid. I also wonder if the reason we are so timid about speaking in the name of Jesus is because we haven't necessarily seen and heard things that have changed our lives. It's pretty dramatic when you think about that story. Peter fastening his eyes on the man at the gate, lifting him by the hand and saying, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Peter takes a risk, a spirit-inspired risk, to put his faith on the line. He took the risk to believe in that moment that something powerful could happen. He took the risk to believe resurrection was more than a story. And he could not stop talking about the things that he had seen and heard. What would it be like? What would it be like to experience resurrection in such a way that we simply could not shut up about it? I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being offensive. I am not talking about being judgmental or cruel or unkind. What would it be like to be constantly speaking of the good news of the gospel that raises us from our sins, raises us from our sickness, raises us to new life, to new opportunities, to new possibilities? What would it be like if our congregations became places where people were imbued with a holy boldness, such that when we left at the end of the liturgy, we would be able to leave with a renewed energy, such an energy that we would say, we can't stop speaking about the things that we have seen and heard. We must proclaim the name of Jesus, the risen one. Well, my guess is that it would be equally amazing for people in our neighborhoods, in our communities, to say, wait a minute, these people who are talking passionately about Jesus and the resurrection life, these people who are living the resurrection life, why, they're Episcopalians. That would be a story, wouldn't it? Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have delivered us from the dominion of sin and death and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. And we pray that, as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his love he may raise us to eternal joys, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.